talk about IIS. I've been just started with Microsoft about in February. Some of you may have read some of the stuff that I've had on IIS training and IIS answers and IIS FAQ. And I'm really jazzed to be working with Microsoft as the IIS evangelist. And one of the reasons I'm here is that we have a lot of information and a lot of news about what's coming up with IIS 7, as well as things going on with IIS 6. And so we're going to do a regular show. We're going to help the IIS show for now, because until I can come up with a better name. And if you have one, a better name, send it to me, because I'd really like to know. So I felt like it'd be kind of strange if I just sat here and asked myself questions. That would be a little unusual. So instead, I've asked Michael Lehman to come and ask questions to me. And so here he is with a few questions about IIS.
All right. Thanks, Brett. So let's start out with what's going on with IIS 6 today, the thing that people have in their hands right now.
We have IIS 6 out in massive quantities, and a lot of people are using it, and they love it. Compared to IIS 5 and IIS 6, people report that it's a much better platform for them. A lot of the architecture of IIS 6 is so much more reliable. And once you get there, it's sort of like, oh my gosh, what took me so long? So I know some of you out there have applications running on IIS 5 servers, and you're planning to get to IIS 6, and someday you're going to get there. And I'm here to say, move that cart along, because you're going to be glad that you did. One of the things that's happening is if you've been following any of the changes that have been coming since our release to manufacturing for IIS 6, is there have been some changes in quite a few areas of significance. One of the most important ones is the tracing and auditing, if you will. Not so much auditing in the classic sense, but tracing functions in IIS 6 are substantially improved over the way it was originally. So you should take time to look that up, IIS 6 and tracing. We have some really good webcasts on that. It will change the way that you troubleshoot your applications much for the better. Also, there's some tools out, quite a few new tools. If you'll go check the downloads page at Microsoft.com for under IIS, you'll find a whole bunch of tools out there, some of which you really ought to know about. They can really help you with your diagnostics and troubleshooting.
Awesome. Now, you know as well as I do that IIS security, IIS is so popular that it's been this giant attack surface for people to come and say, oh, let me go see if I can break into it. And that's been kind of a hot topic in the past, and IIS 6 has been out for a little while now. So, what's the security record like for IIS 6? Have we actually set a bar and keeping our customers safe?
That's so true, in the sense that, I was out in the field doing a lot of work and a lot of training with companies whenever Code Red and NIMDA hit with IIS 5. And that was a very, of course, serious time. It's not a pretty moment for when IIS appears on the NBC Nightly News. That's not a happy day for Microsoft fans, if you will. Nevertheless, we've come a very, very long way since then. A lot of it is history, in the sense of security becoming a very important part of Microsoft products, and the entire move to make applications secure by default and secure by design. As much as you've heard those things, I'll be one of the first to admit that whenever I first heard that, I wasn't so sure what we would actually do. But when I saw IIS 6 and the way it was installed, I began to realize that there was teeth in this. And in fact, since release to manufacturing, since IIS 6 came out, there have been zero, and that's a big fat zero, critical security hotfixes for IIS 6. Now, that's phenomenal. You just don't do better than zero. And nevertheless, we still have a hangover, if you will, from the days of IIS 5 with Code Red and NIMDA. And people project that onto IIS 6, it doesn't deserve that reputation. There are a lot of Fortune 1000 companies running IIS 6. And they're enjoying the benefits of that. And that's one of the reasons I encourage people to get on that platform, is because the security record, it just can't be beaten. It's really an amazing record.
All right, awesome. So, week before last, Professional Developers Conference, 12 million, billion people all went to the LA Convention
right.
Center, and some of them saw presentations about IIS 7.
Right.
So, why should developers be interested in IIS 7 right now? I mean, what can they do today?
That's a great question. We have a lot of stuff to be excited about for developers. One of the most challenging things for me has been learning how to think differently with iOS 7, because we have an ability with iOS 7 to integrate applications in a way that we've never been able to do before on a Microsoft platform. For example, the iOS team has taken the core functionality of the server and broken it into various modules. You can take those modules and do whatever the heck you want to with them. You can unplug them, you can plug them back in. So for example, if you don't need basic authentication on your server, you can just remove the basic authentication code from loading at all. So it's not like you have to just turn it off. You just completely remove the binary code from being in memory. So it can't be used. And it doesn't take up any memory, of course, because it's not present. But in addition to that, you can also add your own modules. Now, these can be executables that are written in either managed or native code. And if your server doesn't do something you want it to do for an individual application or for on a global level, the entire web server level, then you can add a module to the server and get it to do whatever the heck you like. And this is just incredibly exciting because you can hook up iOS to your infrastructure, regardless of what your requirements are, and use managed code to extend its capabilities. So we're looking at some entirely new kinds of web applications coming out. For example, you could write a module that, if you wanted to put a header or a footer on every single page that comes out of your website, not a problem. Just create a module, load it up, point it to the configuration that you want it to be, the configuration elements for your module, and out comes every page with the content that you want automatically appended to it without the individual websites having to know anything about it. That's really strong, a lot of power in this server design. So we're really looking forward to getting that out to people. And of course, just getting people to look at it, because it's pretty exciting. That's an example of the modularity that we've built into the server. Another really interesting aspect is the ASP.NET integration. The ASP.NET is integrated to such a degree that you can use .NET capabilities in IIS on applications that aren't .NET. So for example, if you wanted to use forms authentication, you can enable forms-based authentication for static content or PHP or Perl or for anything that you want. It doesn't have to be .NET. Now, if you've worked with iOS 6 and .NET in the past, you probably run across having to configure security differently for .NET than you do for example, static content. And all that goes away in iOS 7 because it can be run in what we call a unified mode. It can be embedded in the pipeline of iOS so that it is actually part of the iOS core. That's really, really exciting stuff, bringing a whole new level of integration and also bringing those capabilities of the .NET framework accessible to iOS 7. In addition, of course, we've extended all kinds of capabilities, like WMI has even been enhanced so that you can manage iOS 7 configuration using WMI a lot easier than you could before. Lots of new changes there. There's a new web tool called the web administration tool. This guy is a WinForm application that manages your iOS server via HTTP or HTTPS. And it's so cool when you take a look at it. You can delegate capabilities, so you can delegate administration to all different kinds of people to do whatever you want them to do. So that you don't have to be, for example, a website administrator anymore to change the default page or to turn on an authentication method. You can be, if you want. You can require that you be an administrator, but it's not a requirement by design any longer. This gives you, for the first time, the ability to have website operators who are constrained in the things that they can do to just the things that you would like for them to do. You can do all kinds of other stuff with this tool, like you can expose properties for your web applications in it, so you can customize it. And then, of course, since all of this goes into config files, you can xcopy all of that out and have your configuration, your application, and your delegation all move with the website via xcopy. So we've just got a ton of stuff. And we're going to be doing some more details on this kind of content in this show in the near future.
So that sounds really great, which brings me to the next question that I'm sure that all the people listening to this are asking, which is, when can I get IIS 7 bits?
Yes, that's the magic question. IS-7, the first time you will see it in the wild, will be with Vista. It will be released. There will be a version of it on Vista. And then, of course, the server version will come out with the Longhorn server. So I'm forbidden from saying anything that has anything to do, resembles a date on the calendar about when that might be. However, as you see announcements about when Longhorn server and Vista may actually hit the streets, then those are the days that you will see IS-7.
And for developers, though, obviously we have been releasing betas of Vista. Is IIS-7 included in those betas, or what beta will IIS-7 show up in?
IIS-7 will appear with the Longhorn Server Beta 2, and that's the one I would encourage people to be using. Now, Longhorn Server Beta 2 is not really out yet as of this point. We are looking to get that out, hopefully. I don't know if I can say the date yet, still, dang it. But we're still working on trying to get that out as soon as we can, hopefully around the end of the year. And so whenever that happens, the beta program, then you'll be able to, those of you who are part of the beta program will be able to have access to it. There was a distribution of IS-7 on the Longhorn server ISO image that was on PDC disk number 6. So those of you that went to PDC, you can look on disk 6 and you'll find the Longhorn ADS server version there in an ISO form. You can install that, and lo and behold, you will see the very first version of IS-7 released to the world.
Awesome. So as a developer, where can I go to get more information? What's a good URL for people to go and find out about things?
Well, right now, the information that's out there is a little bit limited. However, the IS-7 SDK docs were posted to TechNet and MSDN just about 2 weeks ago during PDC. So if you'll go to those sites and just simply search for IS-7, you'll come up with a listing of links to the documentation as it sits today. Now, of course, it's in early beta form, so it's incomplete. But we will be filling that out as time goes on. So, you know, these podcasts are early announcement information, but you will be seeing more information coming along as we move along.
All right, and I'm sure that we can put the links to those SDK information and so forth in the blog post that goes along with this podcast.
Of course.
Awesome. All right, well, that's the end of the questions.
Okay, well,
close
thanks.
The show.
Thanks a lot, Michael. I really appreciate you taking time to ask these questions about IIS, because IIS is, you know, I've been involved with IIS for about 5 years as a full-time profession, and I've really enjoyed working with it. So I really am excited about the new possibilities, and I appreciate the chance to be here and put the word out. So this is Brett Hill saying thanks for listening, and look to this space for some more information about IIS in the near future.